Hopefully it'll work. All right, so let me pull up my notes. They kind of go along with that. My very first question, which I think is the most important when you're approaching the keyboard in a worship context, is how do you know when to use the keyboard versus using the piano here at Park? Because they're separate. Like, a lot of times I would play where I'd have both going on. I didn't really have to decide, but for here, you kind of have to pick one or the other. So how do you know? And for me, it's always come down to this. If there's a piano part, or it's like a slower song or a hymn that doesn't really have something that needs a little bit more technical piano stuff, I'll play piano, and then everything else is keyboard. So unless I have a piano part in a song, I'm going to use the keyboard because there's so many more options to use. So that's kind of my like rule of thumb. There's always exceptions, but that's what I go by. And so approaching the keyboard, since it's not just your piano sound, I wanted to share with you what the settings that I find useful. So what are my go-tos? I have like three things that I'll always use. So first of all, you have like the Rhodes. I call it an e-piano, and there's like five different ones on here. I guess I have organ first, but electric piano is good because it's a little bit softer sound than a piano is, and so it's good. Sorry, it's really loud. Let me turn it down. Okay. So it's a little bit softer of a sound. It's really good for slow things, but you want a little bit more body to it than an actual piano. So a song I used it on and I played last, Give Us Clean Hands, and then I think I use it on Come Thou Fount for all the verses because it blends really well, and it kind of, I think of it like it's holding everything else together in a way. So it's just a nice soft sound. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have the organ. I'm going to crank this. This is going to be so loud. Okay, so an organ is useful for any fast song. Like, it's just perfect because it gives you almost a lead line, so I'll match the melody with the organ, say on a chorus, but most songs I'm going to play an electric piano on verses, and then the organ you're going to use for the chorus because it's so loud, if you don't play it quite right, it can sound really bad. So with an organ, I'll play it on a song. What do I have down here? This is Amazing Grace, How Great Thou Art Before the Throne of God. So the, you know, fast tempo song. So it sounds kind of like this. I'm going to show you how I play this. That's what kind of smooths it out, because if you just do that, it's okay. But it's not very pleasant if you were to ever play it or could be heard. It's more of a blending thing. So that, because the biggest thing, and I'm going to jump around a little bit, because I'm going to tell you as I'm thinking of it, as we're going along, you never want to add mud to a mix, especially with a keyboard, because there's no need to ever add any mud. It gives you so many options of things you can do. So if I ever feel like the guitars are doing a ton of stuff, there's super loud, if it's ever a time you think, oh, no one will ever hear the keyboard, so why? What's the point of playing? Usually I'll use an organ in that setting, because I don't really need to be heard. It's just going to, like, give that nice little, ooh, where's that coming from? Kind of thing. So the organ is, it's underrated, and most people play it wrong. So if you're going, like, a chord, you don't ever, ever do that. Please, I beg of you. And then my secret weapon with the keyboard, this is what I use 90% of the time, is a setting I created. It's an A3. So the rest of them are in B. When you turn it on, it'll be set to A. So A3 on here. And it's a mixture, I guess, of an organ and an electric piano, but it sounds like a pad, kind of. So it's really smooth. So I'll play that on everything. I'll use it on every single song, and then I might switch to just electric piano or just organ. See here, it has that like longer lasting, yeah, more than an electric piano, but a similar feel.
Quick observation: you're primarily only playing one bass note.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I've learned to do an octave.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about
spacing. So. With the keyboard, once again, like I said, don't ever create mud. And the hardest thing for pianists to understand about the keyboard is you're not playing piano. It's a totally different thing. You're playing maybe like 9 less notes than what you would play with piano, and you're playing 90% less rhythm. You're just going to hold out notes more than you're going to play a lot. So what I do is I will do an octave usually on my left hand, so I have a low note, but I'm not going to move them both at the same time. So say I'm playing like a G chord. I'm going to space that hand out. This one will usually be matching the melody in some way or the lead line, and I like to leave this hand very similar and then change what's going on underneath it. So you can play the same thing on this hand and just change it, and it sounds totally different. This finger has never, I've had, like, this D note has had something on it the whole time. Because basically, with music theory and for the keyboard, you're not ever going to think about this, but your 1 and your 5 for every single one, you're rarely going to use this middle note, the third. You're always going to use the 1 and the 5 of whatever the chord is. So the 1 being the root note, the lowest note, and the 5 being whatever you're, I don't know. I always think about it like harp, which is opposite. So the pinky, I guess. And so I never, ever, ever, ever use the third on a keyboard, with whether it's organ or electric piano or any of that. You want to create as much space and use as much of this area that you have as possible, because that's going to create multiple layers, multiple textures, so that it balances out the sound, because it's like just too much of one thing. It's not going to come across. No one will hear it at all. It's not going to add that much. It's just going to add mud. So you want low and you want high as much as you can. So then if I were to switch this to organ and show you the same thing, kind of like what I was saying, I could play that. It's a little bit low for an organ. I'd probably play it up here. If it ever sounds bad, just pretend like it was on purpose. And like pretend like it's a sustain note, and then like move it as fast as you can, but never pretend like it was on purpose. You're just gonna be like, okay, I'm owning this. No one will ever know. So, does that make sense? Any questions on types? It's all over the place, but as long as you have whatever notes you need to remember.
Okay, tell me about, you mentioned intermixing different sounds on the same song. So
yes, I mentioned
that.
Okay.
Come Thou Fount.
Yeah, Come Thou Fount is probably the best example. So that song, whenever I played it with Mark, it's always like, it'll be really big, so like the whole band is in, so I'm going to do an organ, and they're doing, say Bruce is playing some guitar lead line, I'll just do something really open, usually a high organ. I'm just going to pull it down, because it's really hard to hear it out of context. So funny. Something like, literally, that's going to kill you, and it killed me a long time to play that little, but it sounds better. So say I play that, and then I'm going to switch really quick. All I have to do is switch down to A, and then that gives me that nice setting. So then we go to the... Okay. So right there, I'm going to be right there. Whatever the chords are. So about like that. You hear that sound? So that's probably verse 1, verse 2. I'm going to switch back to that organ. And then when we go, like, there's like one verse that's a little bit bigger. I think it's the third verse. And then I'd stay on the organ the whole time. And it's still going to be a similar thing. For the, say I did it just on the telly song. Blends it better. So then I'll switch back just kind of, but anytime the song is big, I use organ, and then say song Come Thou Fount, whenever, you kind of have to feel it out. I say feel it out, it's hard to really tell you exactly when. Does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah, and then practically speaking, as far as this might seem very natural for you to change it,
mm-hmm.
Walk me through like the actual mechanics
okay.
of you changing it. So, like,
so the really important thing for changing.
Are you holding your right hand? And
yes,
you change it
I'll
to
always
left?
Change with my left hand. So if I'm playing an organ up here, we have to realize if you change something, it, it cuts it out completely. So I stop playing right before usually, so it'll be like da da da, and then I'll go, and then I'll wait till I come until the da 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 da, right? So you're gonna wait until it's like a natural point, because no one's gonna notice if you don't play. They will notice if I were to do this. I say it's there. You're right, it's like, ah, what just, they'll always blame the electric.
So real quick, so like just maybe like walk me through right now, like
yeah
through a big organ section.
Yes.
Or
does that make sense? So I'm gonna hold that. Sometimes I'll wait. So say, so like right there, right? I don't know where I'm at. Just let's say that I just finished a verse. Does that kind of make sense? It's hard.
I think it's hard to hear without the band. Yeah.
Yes. If I show you, if you just stay close to me when we're there, and I'm gonna switch a ton during those songs. So you can watch how it goes, and I can explain that more in detail later, too. So, I've covered some of the spacing of the hands, less is more. So the organ, like I said, you're really only using like maybe 2-3 notes. Leave that hand the same. You can move this one note probably on their left hand. Electric piano. I was just going to mention this about music theory. I told you the 1 and the 5, right? And so what I use a lot to soften how it sounds, versus, because this is something in classical piano playing, like you don't really learn this, you're just told to play like chords, right? So you have your chords. I use the second note, so say I'm in C, I'm going to use that second note right here instead of the third, and I'll use my seventh instead of doubling up on the one. So if I were to play, so you hear how soft that sounds compared to, so use that. I use that second all the time, especially it suits the electric piano. So just that will help. As far as I can tell you, just practice playing around with that second note and the seventh note, because it'll really change the sounds that you can create with a chord. Does that make sense? Okay, so never play the entire triad. Any questions? I know you had that. Anything else before I move on?
Just like you said, you have that A3, that was like a setting that you create and use a lot. But I was looking at these. Is this pretty much like kind of like rule of thumb, like the ones that are like most commonly used?
No.
No.
Sorry, can I?
No,
I've never seen this before.
So I was like looking at that because it has like different, like the different kind. Because I know when I played keys at my old church, it was like a million thousand settings.
They have
like
a thousand normally.
Pick, like, what to play.
This is great because they made this and now it gives you a starting point before you ever play it. Like use the sound, make sure you play around with it. There's like, this has like 4 options for everything, so you're not going to go wrong with it. I never play these organs. They're just too big.
Okay.
I don't know how to play them. I never played an organ that was that full. I've always used a thinner organ.
So which organ do you use?
So I use B3 always as my organ sound, because then I can just switch super easy, because all I have to do is go B to A to switch back and forth. So I always use B3. And then if I just want to do electric piano, I'm probably going to do that B2, because it's the harshest sound as far as like it has the less of that... what is that, reverb and lasting stuff. I have a degree in music. I should know more of the technical terms.
I think basically this was like a list that I think JD and Sarah took the keyboard home, and then she plays keys, and so like they just programmed what they felt like they would use, and I just put it on there because
it's super helpful.
A lot of our people don't, I mean,
you wouldn't know.
They don't know. I mean, how do you program it? Where do I start? What sounds do I even use? You got so many options.
Oh yeah,
so
let me show you. You turn it on, just so you know, so it's not foreign. You turn it on, it'll load, and it'll come up first with A. So you want, if you're going to use B, you have to actually switch using these 2 buttons right here. You're going to switch up to B, and then you'll have your sounds.
Yeah,
and
then you got all your numbers right underneath it. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so that one's B. All those are all Bs.
And then I switch to the A. The only thing I use in A is that one setting that I created.
Yeah.
And then... what was I going to tell you about that? I hit something I told you I was going to say about it. Oh, the volume.
Mm-hmm.
That is one thing. Usually I'm going to leave myself full volume for whenever I'm using an electric piano. The organ is so loud, the sound effects will turn me down if I have it full volume. Every church I've ever played at, they'll just turn you off if you're too loud. And so I'll usually go to about half volume right before I switch to the organ. So it's like one more step to think about, but well worth it. So organs, you only ever want to have volume because they're just so loud.
Well, because your point was, you'll turn to organ, they'll turn you down.
And they can't hear anything.
And then you'll switch to another
the electric
pad
piano
or whatever,
stuff.
And it'll be like, you can't hear.
Yeah, it happens all the time. Same for if you're playing during like a liturgy or between songs, I usually will just pull it down a little because it's always too loud because you don't want it to be louder than the person speaking. So I'll just pull it down by like a little bit and then the sound guy will adjust as needed. So that's just a small note about volume. Now, on to music theory. So I'm actually a music theory teacher. I teach for gifted high school students who are looking to get like scholarships and stuff. I teach music theory for them so they'll be prepared for their college like exams and stuff. So, I really like music theory, but I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even know what a dotted note was until I went to college. So, I really like music theory, and I'm just going to break it down for you guys into the 8 elements of music, which I think are listed on your page, and just how those relate specifically to playing the keyboard. So, when I talk about music theory, I think in relation to the keyboard, when you're playing with a band, the keyboard is the opportunity to add spice, to add flavor, to add different things that are going on versus like you have to have it. Because bands play all the time without piano or keyboard and they get along fine if they have a guitar. You can lead from piano, but keyboard's a little bit different than that. So because of that, you always want to know why you're playing the way that you are. And the way you know the details of and being intentional about how you're thinking about playing is using music theory and the different elements of music. So that you might already be doing all these things, but realizing that you're doing them and doing them on purpose versus randomly. So first thing I have is rhythm. So say you're playing and there's like an electric guitar, or you know the drums are doing a pattern. Can you match that pattern? So do I want to play that same melody that they're singing, or do I want to do something off? So a lot of times I'll delay a chord, you know, do a syncopated rhythm. So say that the guitar is playing a straight pattern, like, gross. Say that they're playing that. I'm gonna go. Just play like kind of like every other note. So it's like da, da, da. So I'll play like, I know it's not a good example really, but in different songs, just being aware of what rhythm is going on and you what part are you gonna match. So a lot of times I'll match the melody because no one else is matching the melody except for the voices. So I'll do a higher version of the melody, or I'll copy the electric guitar part but play it in a different area. Does that make sense? So just being aware of like rhythm. Are you syncopating or are you just exactly matching the melody? Because usually it doesn't sound super good if you exactly match everything. I'll play like every other note a lot of times. So then dynamics. So dynamics would be, you know, the range of the sound, right? How loud it is, how soft it is. So just being aware, like I said, of the volume and also how many notes you're playing. It's going to come way louder. So versus like... Okay, so that one is self-explanatory. Instrument pitch range, so that'd be the range of my keyboard. As I told you, you want to fill up that space, but also know where you're going to fit. So when it's a quiet moment and no one else is really playing, I'll usually play mid to low. If there's a lot going on and you wouldn't hear that and it's going to be muddy and it's what the electric guitar is already doing, go ahead and play high. So... just being aware of where you're playing in relation. It's all about listening to other people. I always listen to probably like one whole chorus before I actually play when I'm practicing with a band. So I just don't want to do something with no reason. So timbre. So the timbre would be the distinctive quality of the sound that I'm using, which we talked about with settings. Melody. Should I match the melody or should I just play chords? I'm going to move quick through these because I've already said a lot of this, so we don't know to say it again. But melody or electric guitar, texture would be the layers of sound. So what place or sound am I adding to the mix? And I just put again, avoid the mud. Everyone, that is the biggest thing when I've worked with pianists, trying to help them understand keyboard. They can't do it. I'll say that they're auditioning and I'll go up to them and say, hey, I know that you're super good at piano, but can you not play? Like I say, you're only allowed to do 3 notes. They say they want to help them with their audition. I'm like, and it's so hard. They can't do it because you want to play a ton. You're used to having to carry the song and do that rhythm and, you know, get your groove going, or classical piece or whatever. And you really, it's going to, just get over it. Listen to a song, practice that, whatever you need to do, but get over that and play way less notes. I'll say it again and again, but it's really important. Then finally, form. So in this context, it's really important to be aware of a song and what shape it has. So the rise and the fall of the song. Most songs follow the same progression. They're going to start out smaller, they're going to, or bigger if it's a fast song, and then they're usually going to build to some big point, which oftentimes is the second chorus or the bridge. They're going to fall back down and then build back up again, and then usually end small. So you're usually just following this cliff, basically. So being aware of that and what you're playing, also being intentional of thinking ahead so you know, when am I going to need to switch? What's the next thing that's about to happen, so that you're never just flying by the seat of your pants? You can be led by the spirit, but still be totally prepared. So just try to listen to songs before you play. Yeah, that's my motto. So just think about supporting that with the keyboard sounds that they're using and in the context of what else is going on. Most of this is just being aware and listening before you jump into something. Okay, so moving on. Any questions about all of that? No?
Did you talk about harmony?
Oh, no, thanks. I didn't have that one on mine. I must have missed it. Oh, basically I just said, can you harmonize with the melody? Which is cool if you do know a lot about piano and you want a challenge because you get bored with playing. So say they're doing, like, let's just use Kung Out Bounce with Sydney. So if I were to play, like, a part and I want to go... let me show you how to use this. Like, if I were to go... It sounds bad like this is, but it sounds really cool if you just play those three notes. Since you can kind of throw that in, do you see how you can just think about adding that extra layer as if it's another vocal part? And it adds a super cool timbre to the sound.
And it's those crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's, I mean, it's really well, like, orchestras and things. I mean, like, mm-hmm. So, like, in that context, if, like, even, like, on, like, Sunday, we're talking about, we start off with the always, like, ba-na-na-na-na, like, that little catchy line. And then if you just add, like, we doubled it up. So we doubled up the melody with the violin. But the other thought would be just to do a harmony of that same line, like, the da-na-na-na-na-na. I mean, like, whatever the... Mm-hmm.
But, is that how this is that the part? Okay.
Yeah.
So then, but you do it with a different instrument, it sounds super cool.
Yeah, and so like that's where like cello or if you had multiple things it'd be fun too. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
But you can add with the keyboard, you know, yeah. You get some different sounds going on right. On a normal right. Day, right?
Yep.
Can't always have the harp around.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just kidding. Okay, so got through that. I have a note just about playing during liturgy or transitioning between songs. I feel like a lot of that is on electric guitar and keyboards, so maybe that's something we'll kind of, you can see the difference in the two, but a lot of times, say, I always play with Bruce, so say he has some like really cool pad-sounding thing going on that's in C, and we're going to switch to G. He'll usually stop, and then we're switching to the new key. So say we end the song... Watch songs end with piano. So say if I'm right here and there's a scripture reading, so we're ending this song in C. So all you have to do really to transition, if it's a, am I getting too technical about music theory? Okay. So if it's the surround, do you guys know the circle fifths? Are we all coming from that standpoint? Okay, circle of fifths, all you need to know is just think five notes above or five notes below, and those would be the keys that we call, like, neighbor keys. So in C, that would be G or F. For in G, that's D or C. So five above or below any key that you're in will be your neighbor key, and they share almost all the same chords with, like, a one note difference. So most of the worship songs we play are in like three keys, so it's pretty easy. Harp actually is a little bit better. I played a song in like a flat. It was crazy. Never even learned flat. I didn't know flats existed until college because I played in worship so much. So all you need to do to transition, which I think is so easy with keyboard because you have such a range of notes, so it's really, so piano or keyboard. If I'm in E, just give that about a measure, and then you can go kind of into, let's say we're going to A. Usually the minor is a good way to get into it. And then you can go to your... So I usually will go, whatever, say the key that I'm in, E, I'm going to play the chord that's the key of the next key I'm about to go into, if it's a neighbor key. So say it's E to A, I'm going down. And then I could just go straight into the D. So really, all you have to do to transition is establish that you're in a different key, which the way you do that is to play the one chord that's not in the original key. So, does that make sense? I'm saying that like a lot of hypothetical without giving you a practical idea of it, but is that making sense? Any questions?
Can you just do it one more time?
Yeah, sure.
Like step by step.
So, here's the chord of the key I'm in. We end the song, so say we're in... That shows you the key. We just finished the song. E. Now we're about to say this prayer. So I'm just going to kind of, as fast as I can, usually I try to get in the new key because it's less of a distraction to people. So usually before the person will start talking. So I'll be like, and then then I'm going to play the next chord, which is the key that I'm about to go into. So it's whatever chord is the key that I'm about to go into. So which is going to be another fifth below. Just think in fifths. So you're in E, we go fifth below that to A, and then we're going to go fifth below that to D, which is the chord that will separate it from E. And then go ahead and play that tonic chord again, so that it's, because then your brain has time to recognize it. Once it's heard it twice, it recognizes it, and then you can start, and what I always do, start playing the chords of the next song you're about to play. If you're doing it playing during a liturgy, you're either going to, if it's the last song in a set, or like say it's the song at the end, just stay in the one you're in. But if you're going into a new song with the piano part, get that going. But no, don't necessarily play your part because you want to have it clear, but get that song going because then people, it's just a better, when Joel talks about undistracting essence, to me that is a lot less distracting than if we're just like, oh, I'm shocked into the next thing. Because that those silences for me, I don't know if it's because I'm a musician, those can like really distract me and kind of be like, ah, we just did like a half step change and it was really like my brain. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so here's I mean, let me just, because I don't understand circles of fifths and that's fine.
No, that's sorry.
No,
that's
and
that's technical.
No, so I do understand like major scales and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, so like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Nashville numbers, I understand all that. So like, example, like when I'm looking at something and I'm talking to the band, I generally, mm-hmm. talk to them about and say, and look for, and maybe you can tell me if this is right or wrong, I look for a shared note.
Yeah, exactly.
With the next one, like with the next key. So E, and we're going to B, but honestly when I'm making keys and those changes, if I'm doing it in G, I know I can do a song in D. If I pick between D or E, I mean like I'll probably pick one that's an easier
which is perfect
chord change.
Yeah.
You know, and then often then I'll look on the set of like, can we end on that note? So instead of ending on the one, a lot of times we'll play like 1, 4, 5, 5, and then we'll go.
Yeah, exactly. 1, 4, 5. You
yeah.
just hit on it. That's
yeah.
the easiest transition out
yeah.
of them all for a band especially.
And then you're there, and then mm-hmm. you hit the five, but you let it sit, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just reset, and then you establish it with the four or whatever.
Exactly.
Of the new key. And that's how I've generally...
You literally just said exactly what I said,
okay.
but in a better way.
Well,
so you're
no,
good.
I'm just all, like, self-taught. So, I mean, it's very, yeah.
Yeah, so what Joel said, that's pretty much what you follow. And it's nice if you know that the leaders are all planning it with keys that are sort of the surrounding keys, because then you know it'll be good to go. It'll be easy transition. However, I just want to give you one little tip. If you are in the key of, say, B... I think they're vocally a lot of times the lines are similar, so the same person is going to choose a song in D and in B. It's still a super easy like one chord. bit sneaky. Dizzy, did you hear how that sounded? So all you have to do, just always look out for this. This is my one thing. Any chord that you're going to play has a relative minor to it, or the same parallel minor. So if there's a B, there's a B minor. If there's an A, there's an A minor. And that will almost always, that chord is going to exist in a key that is nowhere near the key that you're already in. So if you ever want to transition, which a lot of times you can just do a clean transition there, but if you ever want to just use the minor and just go from major to minor, and it still sounds really good. Exactly. So, got into a lot of technical stuff, so I'm going to kind of reset. Everyone, do you feel good about that? And I just want to say, this is just everything I've learned in my own roundabout way. So sometimes it can come across really roundabout. So as long as you're tracking with me and feel like you got like one thing out of it, then I'm good with that. You just have to think about your transitions. Be aware of the chords you're playing. Make sure you're not playing very much, just like I was saying. Less is more, especially when you are the only person playing. So my last thing I have is just how to prepare. I think people will listen to a song and not really know what to do unless there's a piano part, and then they learn that piano part, and they don't learn anything else about that song. Whereas in reality, every single song, except for some from like 2005 to 2007 in the worship, they didn't really do piano for some reason during that time. But other than that, every song has a bunch of piano or keyboard stuff going on. You just have to know how to listen for it. So I'm just going to explain to you how I prepare for when I play, say, here at Park. So they'll send out the list of music, and I usually will take an hour or two, and I just get it done. Because for me, I want to know when I go in there exactly what I want to play, because then it gives me the freedom to change it completely, but I know that I know how the recording sounds, and then I'm free to do whatever I want, because I know all the parts. And I can scrap them if the leader doesn't like them, or I can play them. So you're really good to go as long as I know all the parts, and then you can change them as you want to. Does that make sense?
So when you say that, you said, like, they'll send out the list of songs.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said recording, did they send out, like, a recording of themselves doing it?
Do you
want to
explain
it?
That?
Yeah.
Or
so,
is it just, like,
yeah.
You listen to a song on YouTube?
So,
or both?
So we add all the MP3s for the songs that we play on Sundays, and then we... Generally, we ask the leaders to clarify: are we going to play it like the recording or not? Because I sent out one recording, and I had just gotten on the band. This is the church I was at in Oklahoma City. I just got on everybody for like not practicing. Like, we were like, this is really sad, guys. Like, so like, I was like, we're going to do, by playing it, you have to learn the songs, and then I posted. I think All I Have Is Christ, a song, and then I sent it out, and then the next morning I didn't add the notes of like, hey, I put up a simplified chord progression on it, but I didn't clarify that, and so this gal went in and was like, oh, this is different on the recording. So she learned it all. Like, she spent like an hour just learning the song.
It happens.
In a different form, and then she came, and then she's like, but we're not playing it like the recording, which I just railed on everybody for. I was like, oh yeah, we're not playing it like that. I just simplified it because it's too complicated. And she was like, ah. And so on Sunday, let me give you an example. Like yesterday, there's an app. So we use Planning Center online, if you've ever heard of it. So basically, it's basically our means of communicating with people. So this is this last Sunday, order of service. So I put notes in there. So I put for like holy, 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 I put like the recording but with different last verse, big and bold. Nathan listened to the electric part at the beginning. We could always chat with Sarah and Tower as far as who plays what. And so that was my note for electric guitar. So he came in with his guitar part dialed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've noticed that if I call people out by name, they're like way more likely to actually learn it versus if I'm like, learn your parts. It's like, woo.
I didn't know that.
You know, and like, wait,
they don't listen to something on the
amplifier. There's a guitar part? What? And so I do that. And then also, she mentioned music. So there's like a media player right here. So you just click on that. And so this was holy, holy, holy. So that was for
side note, I always listen, so I'll play the song until the voice comes in, and then I re-listen to that like 5 times while playing with different settings, so I can hear what's going on. I listen to that right now, and I'm like, I don't know what the piano just did, until you have to, like, I call it active listening. You have to listen while sitting at a piano or sitting
and
at a
with
keyboard.
Headphones, because,
yeah.
Like, if you're listening on computer speakers or phone speakers, it's like you can't get the full range. Like, I'll think it's actually playing, like, certain chords. I'll, like, create a chord sheet based on, like, my computer speakers, and then I'll actually listen with other speakers, and I'll hear bass doing totally different things, and it just wasn't coming through my speakers. So, so that's the way that you can practice. And then we did a new song on Sunday, and there are no parts for it. And so I
love those.
And so and we'll actually get into it today. So one of our exercises is. So I just put in. So I put it in there. I make some notes, and then I might put some ideas. But really, I'll put it on the band to like come up with some ideas. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. So that you listen, and then what I do, because it's really helpful. So if you have like on the iPad, once you're here, you can add notes to them and stuff. Like, and I'll do it on my iPad, and I'll just write in like block chord. Or organ. I'll just do a little, like, kind of shorthand on my actual music that I'm playing off of. But what I do is I sit down. I don't have my notebook because I forgot it. But my sister screenshotted it to me. You can see I'll write down every song, like, right here. And I write, am I using piano or keyboard on the side? And then I write out every part and what I hear going on exactly according to the recording. And then I cross out what I don't want to do, what I think sounds bad or, like, isn't really necessary. But I write out every note of every part, even if I already know it, because sometimes you forget if you, like, are really tired or nervous or something. I've done that so many times. So I'll write out, like, the intro part that's keyboard, the intro part that's guitar, because you'll be asked to play that a lot more than you think you will, even if there's not a keyboard on the recording. You'll end up doubling the guitar. So I'll learn all the guitar parts and the keyboard parts. So that I'm, like, you just, then it gives you flexibility. And then I'll write verse 1, low block. Chorus, block octaves, bridge, block higher octaves, some rhythm, move with the melody. So I just give myself reminders, because I'll practice, say, on Wednesday or Thursday, I'm going to forget everything by Sunday, because there's just a lot going on. So I'll just write down kind of like just little notes so I remember, and then I'll go back and go, oh yeah, I remember practicing that now, if I have that kind of a reminder. Other songs are that are easy, I'll just write organ. That's all I wrote down. Because I've already played that song, so I didn't need to remember. I've, like, done it a bunch of times, so I knew what my part was. Does that make sense? But for me, I have to do this, and getting this it's not one listen. I have to go through, and I will listen, and then I'll stop it after the verse. And then I go and listen to the verse again, and I figure out the part, figure out what's going on, then I move on and, like, do the chorus. So, I mean, it's time-consuming, but you're learning so much. For me, I love doing that. I love learning a new song. I love, like, feeling comfortable with it, because I think an aspect of undistracting excellence for band members is when they don't know their music well enough that they can't get their head out of their music. Mm-hmm. When they're up there, like, I'm playing keyboard, like, and they look like they're furious, and they're singing about the love of God, and I was like, why are you pissed at me right now? Like, I guess you don't really mean what you're singing. I don't believe you, because your face looks like either dead, like you're in a morgue, like, or they're like, you know, or they're zoned out with their mouth open, like staring into space. I've done it all. I'm saying based off of, use me as an example. But if you can get to the point where you're not bound by that music, you know, okay, I know this song well enough. I know that it's C, G, F, C, G the whole time. I don't even have to look at it if I don't want to. I can look at all of you and say, look what the Lord has done. Worship with me. Don't you see where Jesus reigns? Or come thou fount of every blessing to my heart. You can look up and say, yes, Lord, instead of being like, oh, we'll play this keyboard. And it's such a freedom that comes with knowing your music that well. And then you realize how little you really need to play to be able to contribute to that. Because the less is more also frees you for the other half of being on a team, which is worshiping with everyone else. And I think that, I don't know, that for me, that kills me inside a little bit when I see someone who really hasn't gotten to that point yet. So, I don't know, it's just something to kind of be aware of, because I don't think a lot of people have ever thought about that. But just let yourself be open. It's never in a fake way, not in an artificial way, because that's just as distracting. I was at this church because I was doing a gig. One of the singers, I'm not even kidding you, she was like, Jesus, Jesus. And she, like, had this whole little routine of, like, she had, like, choreographed her own little, like, hand movements. And it was horrible. Like, it was so distracting. My fiancé, he's like, I can't. He's like, can we go? So I think once you know your music well enough, that practice is, it's just important in knowing and being able to free you up. So. Oh, block?
Sorry.
Yeah, that's my notes. That would be just... I'm not, I'm playing without any movement going on.
Okay.
Versus, like, if I say moving, I'm going to be playing, like, it's less keyboard, it's more of a piano notation for me. Piano, it's more obvious if you're doing block versus, like, more of a rhythm.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Like, if I was, so if I was here, I'm going, a lot of songs will start out that way. And then it's safe. Does that make sense? So when I'm all right, moving versus block.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually what I'm going to mean. So, yeah. Well, that's all I have.
Awesome.
I think we're about...
Yeah, no, let's take a break.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.